excited enough to have to go through things, come through things to get to where you are today?
Yes.
And some of you have. But, you know, I'm not a person who tells jokes, but this has been on my mind, and some of you probably heard this, so if you heard it, just pretend you're laughing, okay? Just make me feel good, okay? But this woman trying to get her son up to go to church, and man, she's having a hard time. She's going in and knocking on the door, telling him to get up, and he hung and said, "I'll be there." Kept going back. The mom kept going back. And so finally, the third time, she went in there and turned the lights on. He said, "I don't want to go to church." And she looked at him, and she pointed her finger at him. She said, "But you got to. You're the pastor." Mrs. R, come up here. Miss Kathy, come up here. I do have something I want to share with you. I don't know what the Lord is going to download. I see you liking something PTSD. Can you put up there? Does anybody know what that is? Come on, Cletus, say it out loud. Oh. All right. The PTSD. Okay. Post-traumatic stress disorder, right? Okay. But let's look at God's definition of this. Praising through storms of difficulty. Come on! Sometimes you gotta praise through it. You don't feel it, but you gotta praise anyway. So, I got a word here. Miss Kathy's going to read this scripture. She's got better close-up eyes than I do. And for some reason, older I get, the smaller these perks get. Probably. I don't know. Wait. Yeah, I'll probably have to get me another set. So I want you to turn to Psalm 33. Say Psalm 33.
Psalm 33.
God has worked for you today. Now I want to say, I want to say this to you, beginning right here, Miss Kathy, just in a second. Put your finger right there, because you're going to go over on the next page too. God is not Burger King. Some of you probably don't even realize what that means. Back in the day, they used to have a jingle on the commercials. At Burger King, you can have it your way.
Yes.
But you can't just have Jesus your way. Because he is the way. Well, I want Jesus, but I want him my way. You got to go God's way. How many knows that Jesus is the way? Everybody say, Jesus is the way. Yeah. He's the truth. And the life. All right, let's say it again with me. Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So it's Jesus' way, not your way. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the word says the end thereof are the ways of death. If I would have had it my way, oh, Jesus. Where in the world would I be? How many know what I'm talking about? If you just kept going your way, you'd be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't you? But aren't you glad that God saw you where you were? You were lost without hope. And he sent his son to rescue you in your demise and your struggle and brought you up out of the angry ways, the troubled seas, the mire, and the clay of sin, and set your foot on a rock. Not any rock, but the rock.
big Hollywood movie star. I'm not talking about that rock. I'm not talking about Chris Rock. I'm talking about Jesus, Yeshua, Christ.
Everybody in here, stand. I want you to stand because we're getting ready to declare the word of God to you. But I want you to take your feet right here, just in case you don't know. Just in case life seems like shifting sand under your feet. Just in case if it seems like you're standing in an unstable place. I want you to take your left foot, put it down. Put your right foot down. And I'm not doing the hokey pokey, okay? You guys won't get it before long, okay? Alright, put your left foot down, Henry. Come on. What size you got, Henry? Put your right foot down. These are 13s, okay? Put your left foot down. Your right foot down. Turn them all around. You know what you're standing on? You're standing on the rock of ages. You're standing on the rock of ages. It's sinking sand. And life all around you seems like sinking sand. Upon this rock, I will stand. And Jesus told Peter, Miss Kathy, we're getting there. The gates of hell. Everybody shout, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me, because I'm the church. Amen. Give them praise. Come on. Okay, sit back down and get ready to be quiet. Then you may be seated, okay? In reverence to the word, okay? Not to me. You're not doing this to respect me. You're doing this to honor God's word.
Yes.
God is getting ready to declare the endless word of the living God. This isn't just a book. This is the book. The words of Jesus, the words of God, inspired, written by men, holy men of old. Psalms 33. So everybody say Psalm 33.
Psalm 33.
Beginning at verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. That word fear there means to hold in awe, to give great honor to. On those who hope in his mercy. Who do what?
17.
Hope.
17 again.
17?
17 first.
Alright.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
18?
Alright, keep going.
18, alright. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. Okay. You want it in NLT or in
passage? Which
verse?
One?
That's the devil. Which
one?
Read from that version, or you can read from that.
He rescues them from death.
Yes.
Can you believe that? Yes. He rescues them from death. How many of you all don't know that you missed an accident this morning on the way to church? How many of you are unaware of the sickness that passed over your home? How many of you are unaware of the times God has delivered your soul from falling over and over? No, we're not aware. But he is busy rescuing us even when we are unaware. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. Hard times may come, mightn't they? But we're kept alive. Because we got a lively hope. Look at the next verse. We put our
hope.
Say it again.
Hope.
In the Lord. He is our help and our shield. What does the shield do? the fiery darts of the devil from hitting you head on. We hold up our shield of faith. And we protect ourselves from the enemy's darts. In Him our hearts
rejoice.
Hallelujah. For we trust in His holy name. Let Your unfailing love surround us, Lord. For our
hope
is in You alone.
And that last verse says, let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. You may be seated, okay? Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Turn around to three people around you. Give them a high five and say, get ready to hear God's Word, okay? How many of you just heard God's Word? How many knows that you just heard God's Word? In Proverbs 14, it said, hope deferred or canceled or put aside maketh the heart sick. There is no other condition quite like hopelessness. In fact, it's a proven reality and a proven fact. Studies have been done on communities in our nation and throughout the world who go through devastation and go through great trials and great struggles. And in those times of great trials and struggles, we often lose something that's so important, essential to us, and it's called hope. And in those communities where hope is lost or seems to be misplaced, people revert to chaos and disorder. In those communities, crime is high. Drugs are high. Murder is high. Listen, prostitution and crime is high because people lose hope. And so the enemy wants to get us in that place where we feel like that, you know, we're in a crisis of great hopelessness. And often in that crisis, we lose our hope. Our faith dwindles and we lose our strength. But today, what a powerful prophetic word. And some of us here today, you know, I used to come to church with a notepad and a Bible, because you know what? I expected that God speak to me every time I came.
Yes.
I didn't come to check the weather out. I didn't come to check Miss So-and-so out or Mr. So-and-so out. I come with a word, with the word of God, a pen in hand, and a notebook like this choice. She's got a pen ready, and Josh got a pen ready, because they're expecting to write down something that God is going to speak. Somebody said, I wish God speak to me. He is. Are you listening? So I'm going to remind you this morning. We're going to learn another name. Then we're going to go to the scripture. This is a Hebrew word for God. Everybody say El.
El.
Roy.
Roy.
Everybody say with me again. El Roy.
El Roy.
What that is the God who sees and hears. Wow. So, the God who sees and hears, say that with me. The God who sees and hears. He sees you and He hears you. There's no word, David said, that I could escape His great providence or His all-seeing eye or His, listen, ear that is always open to our cry.
Yes.
I've heard people recently tell me, Pastor R, it seems like that I pray, but my prayers go nowhere. Anybody ever been there before?
Yes.
Let's see how many real people here. Okay, well, the rest of you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you're not quite there yet. Okay, man, that's right. Maybe you didn't pray to start with. But if anybody who has been serious in their life of prayer, there are seasons where we seem hopeless. Oh, I know the word of God was all around you. I know the word of God was in you. But I know in your time of crisis, I know in the time of struggle, where you were balancing things, you were balancing faith, and you were balancing fear. How many has ever been in that balance before between faith and fear? How many has ever been there in that place of PTSD? Sometimes we don't think of that, but listen, that's a real thing. Because in that place, we can lose hope. We can have overabundance of fear. But then in those places, it's where we learn to really tune our ear in. Yeah. And hear. And know that God does see me. Yeah. And that God does hear me. Yeah. God does see me. He does hear me. And how many moments when we were on the run? How many moments when we were just in our place, in our mind, in our solitude, in our fears, locked in our fear, locked in our worry, locked in our struggle, and wondering, God, do I even matter? Do you even care that I'm here? Come on. Some people say, if I raise my hand, what's God going to do? That already knows your heart. Get over it, quick. Worry about what somebody thinks. If you raise your hand, there's not a person in here that's real. R-E-A-L. And if you're not, you're not from this planet. You're real. You're real, Tiffy. You're real, 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 real. And so God's trying to be real with us today. In the place of your hopelessness, in the place of Israel's hopelessness, when they cried out to God, when they cried out to God, oh, in bondage of their sin, in a land they didn't belong in, being enslaved by a taskmaster, not always there because God brought Joseph there, and in his providence, through a betrayal, he ended up in Egypt, in a place he didn't belong. But God showed him grace and favor. God always knows where you are. His word goes before you and behind you. You may not see it, you may not hear it, you may not believe it even, but God's word is still there. And through the storms of my life, God's word sometimes was all I had. His word was all I had. And I'm not screaming because I'm mad. That's just me. I'm old school. Get over it. I can't change who I am to make you happy. If I'm too old to be. Alright, then I know we're back. Listen. So God showed Joseph favor. He was faithful to God. And his faithfulness led him to be captive in a prison that, again, he didn't want to believe. But in his hopelessness, God elevated him, showed him favor, because he continued listening to God. He continued believing God. And so he was an interpreter of dreams. He was a dreamer. How many know there's some dreamers in here this morning? Yeah. God's told me to tell you, you've quit dreaming. You quit dreaming, but it's time for you to dream again. If this church ever gets to a place that we quit dreaming, we're in trouble. Everybody shout, dream on.
Dream on.
I don't know if there was a song called that, but dream on. You got to keep dreaming. Joseph kept dreaming. In his hopelessness, he kept dreaming. He kept hope alive. He kept dreams alive. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And it brought him favor because God was on the mark. And Pharaoh snatched him out of the prison. Changed his clothes. How many know that God said, snatched you out of prison one time? And changed your clothes. The problem is some of us are out of the prison, but we still got the same clothes. Which is representing identity. You're not your mistake. You're not who you were. You're not yesterday's old news. You're today. And God has hope for you. Say, God has.
God has.
Hope for me.
Hope for me.
So, because of his favor, God elevated him. And the Pharaoh saw Joseph's excellent spirit. And he graced him with favor. Hang in here. Graced him with favor. And showed him favor. And promoted him to the second highest rank in all of Egypt. You got to understand that Egypt was the superpower of superpowers at that time. And here was a little Hebrew boy thrown into prison, beat up, lied on. Listen, delivered to a place of hopelessness. But yet he kept dreaming and he kept hope alive. And in that place, God showed him favor and elevated him. I want to say to somebody this morning, I know you feel hopeless. I know you feel like things are not working. I know you think you're in a place that you don't belong. But keep hope alive. Keep dreaming. Keep faithful to God. The same God that was with you in the prison will be the same God that brings you out of your prison. Come on, give me praise. I actually talked to a man yesterday, this week in prison. His name is Shane. And Shane has been through a mixed bag of things while he was in there. But the thing that sometimes we're often, and he's listening in this morning, I think Miss Allison's with him. And so we had this powerful conversation. Oh, listen. That even in our hopelessness, God carves out a little Goshen for us. Some of you need to research that. Find out what that means. That word means drawing near to. So in my place of despair, in my place of grief and loss, there was a God named El Roi who drew near to where I was, who related to my suffering, who related to my plight, who didn't leave me there, but he brought me out. So get elbows on it. If you want to, elbow them hard. Maybe they're sleeping, but elbow them hard. Say, so he'll bring you out. Come on, are you with me? If you're already asleep, you're in trouble. If you can sleep during this, you're in trouble. Wow. If I lay down right now, my eyes will go boom. There's an anointing here. There's a presence of God in this place. This word is right on. This prophetic word is right on. God's going to meet somebody in a place of hopelessness, and he's ready to instruct you. Wow. And God showed him favor. And in this place, God made a promise to Joseph that I will take care of you. He fed his family. He fed Jacob. He reunited with his brothers. And they stayed in Egypt several more hundred years. And for a while, Goshen, even until the time that God called Moses to bring down, come down and bring the children of Israel out, Goshen was still a factual place. It was a place, a blessing, where the fields were fertile. The cattle was fat and plump. Listen, water was well, a well-watered valley in the upper Nile. And in this place, of all the plagues that happened to Egypt, even down to the blood over the doorposts, when Pharaoh was going through his chaos and through his judgment and through all the catastrophic things that came upon Egypt, there was Goshen. How many knows that Jesus just didn't deliver you from your sins? But Jesus will deliver you from the flock that's coming. Amen. His blood, shout his blood. Just brought me out. He has delivered me from the powers of darkness and death. He has delivered me from the powers of darkness and death. Yes. To him I escape the judgment that is to come. Because I received the judgment that Jesus took for me on the cross. Jesus became my judgment. Therefore, if you're a believer, even though chaos could be around us, we have great peace in the eye of this storm. Because Jesus is the center of this storm. When everything around you is rocking and rolling, turning, tossing to and fro, your peace and your stability is on the one in whom your hope lives and relies upon. That scripture where it says those who put their trust in the Lord, that simply means those who really rely upon the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can't make it without him. I rely upon him. Okay, everybody shout amen.
Amen.
We're not going to be here long, okay? And then in Psalms 107. Oh, wow. And then, mark that if you don't care. There's no way we can get all through all this today. There's just no way that we can get through all this. Often we lose hope in the crisis of life. You ever think what the word crisis means? And man, have we been through some things in the last few years.
Yes.
How many knows that things are different because of the things we've been through?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Can I have a drink of water?
Everybody say, drink on, Pastor.
Drink on, Pastor.
I'm drinking from the well you don't see. Come on, Regina, I'm drinking from a well you don't see. The woman said, "Well, where is this well? Give me this well that I can drink." Jesus said, "I am that well. And he that drinks the water that I give him shall never thirst. Shall never be forever." I gotta go there. Listen to this. You know why building comes to such a predominantly youth church, young church? Listen. Because he drunk from the fountain that Pastor Leon was looking for in Florida. It was called the Fountain of Youth. Well, there wasn't no fountain of youth in Florida. But there was a fount that came out of Jerusalem. There was a fount. There is a fount that never shall run dry. There is a power of presence that is not exhaustible. You know why he's so young? He's young. He's about 90 years young. You know why he is, Reggie? Come on, smile a little bit, boy. It ain't that bad. Come on. You know why? 92. You know why?
why he's so young in heart? Because he drinks from this well. Tell somebody, say something about the well.
Something about the well.
Yes, Billy Wells. Takes a community, it really does. Billy Wells drunk from the well. He's drinking from the well that never runs dry. Some of you in your hopelessness, you need to drink from this well today. You need a drink from this well. You need a drink from this well. You need a drink from this well. You don't go to the well like Willow Men and sit there and have tea parties and then get water on the house and pour a little snippet of water in the bottom of a little plastic cup. God ain't about that. God's about turning the pot. God's about turning the well over and flooding your soul with hope and joy divine. So, in Goshen, God took care of his people. And in the place of hopelessness, the word crisis is an interesting word. And how we respond in a crisis is important. That's what, whatever your politics are, that's what John F. Kennedy said one time. How we respond in our hopelessness is vitally important. So crisis is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. Anybody relate to that definition?
Yes. Yes.
Anybody ever been through any of those things? If you haven't, God will make sure you can enjoy the ride, okay? Listen, how many will be real with me today and say, I've had times of intense difficulty, trouble, and I've been through danger before?
Yes.
Why do you think John Newton wrote a song on the bottom of a ship called Amazing Grace? Too many dangers, tolls, and snares I have already come. How many can relate to that verse? Too many danger, tolls, and snares I have already come. This definition, a time when a difficult, important decision must be made. Some of you are there this morning. You're in a time in your life when an important decision of what you do in your crisis or your place of hopelessness is vitally important.
Yes.
Do I sink in despair?
No.
Do I drown in my trouble? Or do I call out to the one, El Rohi, who sees me, who hears me? Man, how many powerful stories are in this room of people who cried out to God in their hopelessness. They may have run for a while. And you may run for a while, but you can't always hide. How many of you? Listen, you can hide from God in the ladies' department, in the department stores. You can hide from God in the clothes rack. And when you see the representation of God coming in the room, you can run and hide, but you can't hide forever because God sees you where you are. How many of you say God sees you where you are? To this young lady who inspires me, like all of you, many of you do in this room, I've seen how far God has brought you. You're not perfect. Get me to get up here and lie for you and tell you you're all perfect. You're all real rosy and red and you're all just wonderful. Ain't nobody in this room that way. I'm sorry, but Jesus, he's perfect. But the God who sees and hears, she cried out in her hopelessness. She screamed from her addiction. She screamed out from her pain and her trouble. And the God who sees and hears brought her, extracted her from her pain and her hopelessness.
and gave a drink, a life-changing drink into her soul. And now you wonder why Holly just jumps around here, runs and praises God. If you did what she'd been through, you'd be jumping a little bit too. His crippledness.
Yeah.
How many, when God touched him, the power of God hit him, he went leaping through the temple. A lot of them start saying, oh man, if he only knew where he was. Oh, if you only knew what they do, if you only knew what they were about. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. God raised somebody up out of their brokenness. No wonder that man leaped to praise God for the temple. He had something to leap and praise God about. That's why I don't understand some of this. How you just sit there.
Hallelujah.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Now I know some of you started saying, Pastor's meddling now. We don't have trouble jumping in a ball game. Woo! We don't have trouble screaming on pay-per-view. We don't have trouble. We don't have trouble down the stand, spilling popcorn and drink all over everybody, shouting, losing our dignity in a ball game. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, I heard somebody say one time, well, Pastor, you're supposed to be quiet and respectful. That ain't in the Word. Listen. If God had jumped you out, if God brings you out, you've got something to shout about. If you are hopeless, you've got something to be hopeful about. Say, God's bringing me out. Okay, let's go to the last part. I'm going to share with you today. And the third definition, we'll go to the book of Genesis for just a brief moment. Crisis can be the turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. That's what that prophetic word was today. God said he's going to heal somebody. Somebody's going to recover. Somebody's coming out. Somebody's getting ready to be rescued. Somebody's crying out. And the Lord always sees you because he's the God who sees and hears you wherever you are. I had a Texas friend message from Lynchburg, Virginia. We sent a salute out to Miss Tanya and her family. And she said, pray for us, Pastor R. We're just going through stuff. Well, the God who sees and hears you is alive and well today. He's just as real in Lynchburg as he is right here. He's just as real in China as he is right here. He's just as real in Saudi Arabia as he is right here. He's just as real in Central America as he is here. He's a God who sees you and he hears you today. Some of you are here today because you've been crying out. You've been going through stuff. You've been in places of crisis and hardship and trouble. Well, God's saying, I'm the God who sees you. And as he told Joseph to tell his family, there may be a famine in Egypt, there may be lack in Egypt, but I'm El Shaddai too. I'm El Shaddai, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm El Roi, I'm the God who sees and hears. He'll take
care of us. He'll sustain us. When life's perplexities and struggles, when we go through a sense of lostness, what do I need? And who am I, Lord, in all this mess that I'm in? He's a God who sees and hears you. Everybody say, He sees me and He hears me. And I want you to go back to the book of Genesis. This scriptures right here are scriptures that you never, rarely, ever hear ministered upon. And this is in the book of Genesis chapter 21. And this is about Abraham, a little snippet about Abraham's life. God made a covenant with Abraham, said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I want you to believe me. I want you to trust me. But Abraham didn't know God at first. And God developed a relationship, made a covenant with him. It says, if you'll leave your kindred, your tongue, your nation, you leave your people, and you go where I will tell you to go, then I'll bless you, Abraham. Look at the stars out there. You see how numerous they are? I'm going to bless you more than that. You see the sand on the seashore? You know how many is there, Abram? Well, I'm going to bless you that many times. And all he said was to do was trust me and believe in me. Now, that's a tall order sometimes. Hello, everybody, when they're feeling good, oh, I just trust in the Lord. When the bills are paid and nobody's sick, the work's steady, no problems, no struggles with your kids, no struggle with your finances, no major health issues. It's another thing to trust and obey and believe in the care of God over your life. So God extracted Abram from his country, his kindred. He told him to follow him. And he believed God. God blessed Abram. He blessed him. Say, God's getting ready to bless me. You know, I hear people say all the time, I wish God blessed me. Well, God is looking for a way to bless you. The Bible says the blessings of God run after you. Why don't you stop long enough so He can bless you? The last word I ever heard from my mother was Psalms 110. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you just got to be still. That means in your heart, in your mind. And know that the place you're in is not the end. There's more. Remember the semicolon? That means there's more ahead. I'm glad that God just didn't put a period on the summer at the end of our story. I'm going to put a semicolon saying the best is yet to come. There's more ahead. And here we go. Let's say we're there, Pastor R. We're there. In Genesis 21. So God told him he would have a son, he would have a seed, he would have, there would be a generation after him that would bless the earth. And Abram, year after year, got to thinking, well, God, when is this going to be? Some of you are in that place today. God's told you things years ago. I just counseled with a man this week, 60 years of age. God gave him a prophetic word several years ago that he was going to have a family. Medically speaking, he's not able to. But he got lost in that diagnosis of not being able to have children. And it's put him in a hopeless place. So the children he wants to have and wants to embrace, him and his wife, he's never been able to have. Anybody in this room relate to that? Anybody in this room where medical science says you can't, where doctors say you can't, where religion says you can't, where people can't say you can't, where naysayers say you can't, where the devil says you can't, how many in this room is I can do it through Christ Jesus? heartbroken. So Abram said, God, you told me I was going to have a son. When's this going to happen? It went on. Instead of relying upon God, waiting upon God, sometimes you've got to wait upon God. Amen. Remember, you can't have God your way. Everybody wants God, but they want him their way. I want him when it's convenient with me. I want him in my season, my time. I want to do it my way. Well, you can't have God your way. You've got to have God his way. And Abram relied upon himself. And his wife got in his ear. Sometimes people can get in your ear. Sometimes the devil will cancel your assignment and destiny by getting people in your ear. Telling you the same way the devil told Eve in the beginning. Well, did God really mean it that way? Abram, well, maybe God meant for you to get a concubine. Come on. You got plenty of them around here. So a concubine by the name of Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden, says, I'll bring her to you and you'll have a son. The worst mistake he ever made. Boy, I've made some mistakes in my life. I've messed up in my life because I did it my way. I relied upon my flesh. I relied upon what I felt. Instead of relying upon his word, I relied upon what my brain thought and what my feelings said. And sometimes your feelings can be so wrong and off track as far as the moon is from the earth. And so they did. And she bore a son. But he wasn't the son of promise. How many knows that God has a son of promise for us? You know what? Right now, this ministry, this family is walking in promises that God made long before they were upon the earth. When Mrs. R and I just had two nickels, I don't think we had two nickels to rub together. Two pennies. But we hung on to what God's word said. Did we ever mess up? Yes! Do you mess up? Yes! I promise you, this is coming down the pipe. Hang on real quick. And Abram relied upon what he felt and what he was encouraged to do by his wife. Responding totally out of the flesh. She had this son by Hagar. Everybody say Hagar.
Hagar.
And his name was Ishmael. Everybody say Ishmael. Now God loved Hagar. Don't you doubt for a minute that God didn't love Hagar. And he loved Ishmael. There's no one that God doesn't love. But this caused a lot of problems in the Abraham household. Still causing problems on the earth today. How many of the devil's always looking for a way to cause you problems? Can I tell you, you don't have to even go look for a problem. They'll find a way to get up with you. How many knows that? Just like the blessings of God, Trey, listen, the problems of the world will find a way to get a hold of you. There's people in this room got so many problems, you don't know which way to turn, which way to look. Well, God's giving you a word of hope today. The God who sees and hears, he's looking at you today. So, real quickly here. Lord Jesus, you took me a long way around the mountain, and I'm trying my best, Lord, so help me to keep hold of these people here today. So if you go back to Genesis 16, you'll see about this. Hagar and Ishmael. We don't have time to read all that. But Hagar become sort of embittered in her life because she realized the resentment of Sarah. Sarah was the one that caused the problem. Now Sarah resented the one she caused to make the problem. So there was struggle in the household.
Let me tell you something. Until you get this flesh thing, you can blame everything on the devil. You need to go back and listen to old Laughing reruns. Flip Wilson, the guy who said, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything." He'll just throw the bait out. He'll just throw the bait out. So he baited the hook. And so here it was. We had this huge problem, dysfunction in the home of Abraham. You had two wives. Oh, man. How does somebody do it with two wives? I caused the one. I've got more problems and she won't even think about it. Come on, girl. Are you with me? There's your chest to say amen right there. Trish, you be out right now because be okay. But here you had total dysfunction. You had Hagar and Sarah living in the same household. And God blessed Sarah's womb and he opened it up and he gave her a son. And his name was Isaac. Laughter, or the son of promise. So if you wait on God, God always comes through with his word.
Amen.
God is always will come through with his word. How many knows that God is faithful? He's bound by his covenant. He's bound by his word. What he says, he says. What he does, he will do. He won't change his word to fit your environment. He won't change his word to fit your story. He'll instruct you from a story of brokenness and he'll give you hope.
Yes.
So dysfunction. Everybody say dysfunction.
Dysfunction.
Fighting, quarreling, scratching. You can imagine two wives in the same household. Come on, you all. Big deal with me. And so this is what she said in verse 5. I became despised in her eyes. Sarah despised her. Can I say something to you? You think the devil likes you. He despises you, Tiffany. Not because he's got anything personal against this covenant, because he's got something against the purpose or the seed of purpose inside your life. Because, Josh, there is a seed of purpose in the devil. Your whole life has been trying to squash that out. Destroy that seed of purpose in your life. And she said, I'm despised. Jesus said, I was despised and rejected. A man of sorrow, acquainted with constant grief. So she was despised. And then it went on to say, because, and when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. She ran into the wilderness. And he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from? Where are you going? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Where have you come from? Better yet, where are you going? There's people in this room who don't know where they're going. We have a world that don't know where they're going. They're lost. They lost their identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know if they're up, they're down. They don't know if they're in, they're out. They lost their true God identity. The culture is, it wasn't Nineveh who knew not their left hand from their right hand. And God told Jonah, go down and preach to the Ninevites. Guess what? Everybody in Nineveh got saved. Even the dogs and the cows. I know some of you laugh. You go to the Word, you can read that, okay? God spared the city because there was a cry that went out. Listen to me. What I'm saying, you don't want to hear. What I'm saying you don't want to hear. What God is saying today, the world don't want to hear. Don't tell me I'm lost. Don't tell me I'm broken. But it doesn't change the fact. But today we have hope. Everybody say we have hope. I'm closing. And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the one who sees and hears me. And I'm talking to the one that sees and hears me. El Roi. Everybody say El Roi.
El Roi.
And then closing on this thought. So he restored her. She came back. And in chapter 21 of the book of Genesis, finally Hagar and Ishmael depart. Because Sarah said to Abram, she's got to go. And I want to say something to you in this morning. There's some things in your life got to go. You were smiling like Joe Turkey just a minute ago. Now, when I tell you something real, and I want to tell you something real today, I said there's some things in your life gotta go. Your doubts gotta go. Your fears gotta go. Your unbeliefs gotta go. Your fleshly ways of dealing with your problems gotta go. Said this in Galatians, Josh. You read this? Paul said to Israel, you got to cast out the bondwoman. And that's Hagar. Now it wasn't that God didn't love her. God did love her. But they couldn't exist in the same place. The flesh and the spirit can't walk together. You're more spirit than you are flesh. The one you feed the most will be the alpha in your life. If you feed the flesh, from your flesh you'll meet corruption and disappointment and struggle. You see, that's where my problem comes from. Not the devil I want to blame it on, but it's the guy I look in the mirror every day. Oh man, you call me more problems. So cast out the bondwoman. Because there's not room in the same house. So the bondwoman left her and her son, and she took provisions. They gave her provisions, and she departed, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Some of you have been wandering in your wilderness too long. We're closing right here. God says, I'm going to bring you through, and I'm going to bring you out. Today you're going to make a decision in your crisis. And your place of hopelessness. What am I going to do? I believe there are some things that I need to get out of my way. There's some things I need to let go of. There's some things that I'm trying to hang on to. And it's causing me more problems than anything else. And Butch, we're going to pray for you just in a second. He fell a couple times this morning. And Willie was coming, but he fell a couple times. He's been battling cancer, but... And I believe that God is doing work there, but we're going to pray for him just in a second. I just want to put that out there as a reminder. We're going to pray for him. And for all those listening in, Glenwood and Frieda, people who today, because of their sickness and their plight, they're in a place, seems like, of hopelessness. And so sometimes today, what you've got to let go of is your fear. Your greatest fears, your greatest worries, your greatest struggles. You got to let go of them. And the Bible says that she went and she wandered in the wilderness. In closing, she came in verse 16, 21, chapter 21, 16. She went and sat down across from her son at a distance of about a bow shot. In other words, they run out of water. They run out of provisions. And she said, this is our plot. This is what we're going to do. We're going to die right here. So she put her son under a brush. They drank their last water. She was a bow shot from him, and she was setting a bow shot from him, hopeless, wondering, what am I going to do? I'm going to sit here and watch my son die. Some of us have been in those places of hopelessness before. Come on, are you real with me today? Have you tried, have you been in a place in your life that you struggled to hang on with everything you had? Well, Pastor Hart, nobody understands where I am. Nobody understands what I'm going through. I mean, you can put a smile on. You can walk to church with a smile, and your inside be so broken and hopeless. Have you ever been there before? I go through emotions like that. I got up preaching, and the anointing changed things, but I got up preaching, walking in the room hopeless, wondering what would I do. Sitting under a tree, and she cried out, "Let me not see the death of my boy." So she sat opposite of him and lifted up her voice and began to weep. And this is what the Lord did. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad, the boy, where he is. Rise and lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I'll make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. I see a well, Lord. I see a well. Some of you need to look out. There's a well. And some of you need a drink from that well today. You need a drink from that well to give you hope. I'm so thankful for what God's doing in people's lives. I get inspired every kind of time I come to refuge. And I see so many testimonies around that room. I've seen how God is, and you know what, there's nothing perfect. When you're ready to be perfect yourself, then you'll have a right to judge somebody else's in their imperfections. But your stories encourage me because you've been there. You've been in that Beersheba. You've been in that wilderness. And God's bringing you out because God showed you a well. And God opened her eyes and she saw that well. And she went and filled the skin with water. And she gave her seed hope again. You see, there were times when God gave Miss Kathy and I that drink of water from that well in our place of hopelessness. Years of struggle with depression. Battles and bouts with hospitals and treatments and hopelessness and suicidal attempts and all these things and surgeries and surgeries and darkness and just hopelessness. But then God showed us a well. If you're too worried about a hamburger in the next 15 minutes, you're going to miss what God has right here. If your cheeseburger is more important than this, you're going to miss what God has to say. I don't care about the rest of the day. As long as I can get this proof across to you right here. But he showed us well. And then we took what God gave us. And we gave it to our seed. Yeah, I know. I know at first he didn't want to drink. I know at first. It's like a baby trying to give a baby some, can you put sugar in the water? Come on. You've got to put syrup in the water. Do anything to make them drink that water. But when at last they get a hold of that boy, they can't. To see you all prophesying from this stage the very thing that you doubted and ran from. Do you realize what that is? When you hand something down to your seed, Josh and Joyce, the more you hand down your seed, the necessary financial security, college degrees, your legacy, your faith, your trust in God in your darkest hour. When you cried out from under your bush, from under your tree of despair in the wilderness that you didn't choose to be in, running from your purpose, running from God's plan. But instead of running from God, she ran right into the arms of God. I got news for some of you. You think you're running from God, you're going to run right into His arms. Because you can't run from Him. Come here a minute. Why aren't you shouting over this room? You know what the naysayers and the doctors and physicians said? That she couldn't have this seed. But God had another plan. Somebody said, God had another plan. You think your plan's canceled? Guess what? God's got another plan. So, come here. I'm scared you. Come here, Jim. Come here, Jim. Scared my big old mouth. So every time Pastor Laura, this family, brings her up here and she stretches her little hand over people. Willow Bend stretches her hand over people. Jenny stretches her hand over people. Zane, Ken, and Andy stretch their hands over people. Yours stretch your hands over people. Your seed's living. Your promise is living. Okay. God forgive him, Lord. But but you're truthful. What I'm saying is this. Some of you today, just worried about this moment. You're worried, you should be thinking about what you're handing down. Am I handing faith? Am I handing faithfulness? What am I handing over to my kids? Because you see, Israel became a dweller of the wilderness. Much of our life is about wilderness. But God gave him something there to sustain him. Even though God says, I'm going to bless you, you'll become a great nation. And it became problematic for the people of God because Ishmael, all the Arab tribes of the earth descended from Ishmael. But it didn't mean that God loved him any less. So today, you see what they're holding? The promise of God.
Amen.
Never embarrass your promise. It's a big deal. You see what's leaning over you right now? The promise of God.
Yes.
So today, if you're hopeless, if you're in crisis, today there's a well. And God says, drink. Come and drink. Drink from this well. And when you drink from the well, you take what you're drinking and you hand it over to your children and their children and their children. You see, I'm not just praying for my children, but I'm praying for my grandchildren and their children and their children and their children. And I pray that the Word of God, Isaiah 59 and the last verse, that the Word of God will never depart from my mouth, nor the mouth of my seed, nor the mouth of their seed, nor the mouth of their seed from this day forth. That the Word of God, which is life-sustaining, will never leave. So I'm going to believe God this morning, right now. Lift your hand. Thank you, Lord, for people who have been so patient. I did not mean, Lord. So I want you to pray for Pastor R. Because you know what I'm going to do? Kathy will tell you. I'll go home. No, I ain't going to say that. I'm not pronouncing it upon me. You know what I was going to say, didn't
you? You just fine.
Yeah. Listen. You messed up. Just help people too long. You're too long-winded. Oh, my goodness. Can't you just shut it up, Pastor Lord? I got things to do. Phew, if you only knew my schedule. Phew, if you only knew my schedule. I got souls to water today. I got seed to water. I got seed to water. So bow your head. Lord, if there's somebody in this room that needs a drink, a cold, refreshing drink from a well that will never run dry, encourage them, prompt them by the moving of the Spirit that they can come and drink from this well. Not only will they come just to get a drink that can sustain them, but Lord, your word says we can take the well with us. The woman who got the drink took the whole well with her back to her community, and the whole community drank from what she gave them because she gave them hope. Bub, I want to give somebody hope in this world. I want to give somebody in this room hope. If I failed to do that, then I failed. I want you to have hope this morning. I want to give you hope. I want to give you something to drink. I want to give you something that you can take. If I just sit here and pat you on the head and tell you how just wonderful you are all the time, which you are. But listen, I want to give you something that will sustain you. Keep you going through the wildernesses of life.
Amen.
Keep you going through the hardships of life, through the hopelessness of life. When you're battling cancer, and the doctor said, well, we'll send you home with comfort measures. When your friends, when religion says you're too broken,
So if you're here today and you need a drink, just slip your hand up in mine and be real. Let's all be real in this room. If you need a drink, just lift your hand with mine right now and say, I need a drink, Lord. I'm so thirsty. Come on, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty, Lord. I just need something to drink. Have you ever been that way, naturally speaking? If I could just get my hand, I'd drink old Muddy Creek water. I'm so thirsty. I just need a drink, Lord, from the well that never runs dry. Just lift your hand. Is everybody in this room honest? Be honest, be gut honest. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands. Some of you have been so patient. So patient. So patient with us. If you're here young and old, I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're 10. I don't care if you're 90. If you need a drink today, just lift your hand with mine and say, Pastor Orr, that's me. I'm really thirsty for this water from this well that never runs dry. And I need a drink of Jesus today. I need the Lord to sustain me, to give me strength in my wilderness, because I've been going through stuff. The Lord knows. And He sees you, though. He sees your hand before you even raise it. He knew your heart. He knows you. Some of you are not raising your hand this morning. The Lord says you need to, because He sees you. He knows where you are. He sees you. You can't hide behind a tree or behind a bush. You can't hide behind a potato chip rack. You can't hide. You can't hide. You can't hide. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Those that raised their hand, I want you to stand to your feet right now. And in one motion, I want you to come up here and gather around us right now. I want you to come right now, because God's ready to give you a drink. Come on. He's ready to give you a drink. He's ready to give you a drink. He's going to give you a drink. He's going to give you a drink. Right now, there's a fountain being poured. He's going to give you a drink. We need people. We need people at the altar working right now. We need altar workers right now. People around the altar. Come on, He needs. He's giving you a drink. He's giving you a drink. There's people at this altar right now. Thirsty. There's thirsty people. They're thirsty people here. People are crying out of the thirst. Lord, I'm thirsty. I need a drink. Lord, I'm in a wilderness. I'm in a wilderness. I'm in a wilderness. I'm struggling.